This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
So is there a need for tests in South Africa construction industry? We are on the line with HR Director at PrimeSafe Group, Kevin Colway, and I'll be Reader, Outsource Solutions Manager at MECS. So it is without a doubt that many industries have taken a serious knock during the pandemic. Those involved in South Africa's construction industry had their hands tied, especially at the onset when the whole pandemic thing started, when restrictions severely delayed, even terminated some projects. When comparing the GDP growth in the first quarter of 2021 to 2020's fourth quarter, the construction industry landed at the bottom of the pile. So to help us look into this, we are on the line, as I did say, with firstly, Kevin Colway. Kevin, good morning.
Yes, good morning. Kevin Carley speaking. Good morning to you.
Thank you so much for coming through, Kevin Carley.
Good morning to your listeners. Morning.
Thank you so much. Just quickly, before I bring in Albie into this conversation, I mean, your take on how the industry has taken a beating. How bad has it been with this COVID restrictions? And are we seeing any positive signs coming through? Kevin?
Well, I think that it's very difficult to generalize when we say, this industry, because the construction industry is more than just construction. It involves a whole other set of facets. It's a civil industry, it's a manufacturing industry, it's a fabrication industry, it's a building industry, and there's aspects of this industry which actually have not taken the knock that many people or many parties assume it has. And it has been specifically because of the nature of the industry, which is project-based, that there are a number of projects that were taken up and they were continued, and they will still be continued because they've been funded. And there were also new projects that were brought on board, particularly in the fabrication and the warehousing side of construction, or civil engineering, as one may refer to. So it's the picture is not as bad as so many people would assume. One makes that assumption because we generalize. It's difficult to generalize in this industry. It's a very resilient industry, and for this reason, as I say, there have been very good sweet spots in the industry on the whole. Yes, there have been those areas where we've had to look at either standardizing the industry to a smaller set, mindset, and a smaller application set. But there has been those areas where we have had very good response and basically input from particularly from the requirement of job creation, job detailing.
Okay. Albie, good morning.
Good morning.
And thank you so much also for joining in. Your take on how the industry have responded and how it has dealt with the pandemic?
I think one thing that's become very clear, and that is something that's always been around, is that this notion of permanence and permanent employment is the holy grail of employment, needs to be looked at. Nothing is permanent. We all know clients can do Section 189 retrenchment. So when you start looking at global trends, we find that more and more businesses are looking at using people on some sort of a temporary basis, be it as direct contracts or contracting through the TS businesses. And there is a global trend towards more flexible employment engagements with clients, specifically to add on to what Kevin said, within the construction industry, where you've got a defined project. You're not going to need the people for more than a specific task or whatever is required on that project, and you know, that flexibility to have people move in and move out, and even in, on a seasonal basis. So there's room for all of that, yes.
Mm. And with that said, looking at how a number of companies, construction companies, had no choice but to scale down on full-time employees in order to just remain afloat. I mean, as we know, that government changed the lockdown strategy, and now there's some easing of restrictions as it is. But going back to the point that are we at a point where, again, that there is room for temporary employment services providers to nurture the industry back to health? Albie?
No, definitely. I mean, that it goes back to what I said, is that once you've got these, before you go and commit again to the huge structures, you can have people, and the temporary employment services have those people. We recruit them, we find them, and we manage the whole process. So there is definitely, in terms of TES businesses, a scope for them to assist these businesses to get up and running, you know, not only from supplying and managing the staff, but also the administration of contracts, payrolls, etc. So the GES business is more than just supplying people. There's a whole infrastructure and a business that any infrastructure, put it that way, that any other big business would have, sits within that industry, and it's managed the same way.
Kevin, from your side, I mean, we're looking at this where permanent full-time employees are not often used in project-based industries like the construction industry. So how will that factor in? And especially looking at that it's not necessarily full-time and permanent employees that work on such construction projects.
Well, the reality is, you know, for ever and a day, the construction industry, and even to some extent, I may digress, within the mining industry, it's been essential that the nature of the work be what we call atypical, where there's a tripartite process. And that really leads to the fact that these projects are temporary in nature. They may be temporary in nature in terms of a 6 months, a 12 months, an eight-year process. But the way that these mega projects specifically, there have been many in our country. There have been some even in Mozambique, where the investment has come into those projects from multinationals. The projects would not be able to basically coexist in the system if they were not sponsored by the flexible empowerment and employment process. It's essential to the project. The very nature of the project, as I say, is defined as temporary. Some people are of the nature of temporary is short-term, 1 or 2 months. It's not. In many instances, it can, as I say, be 3, 4 to 8 years. But the reality is there are aspects of the project that need to be attended to and need to be manned. And those come and go. You know, projects are very diverse, and especially multidisciplinary projects are very diverse in the sense that they need input from various structures and various skill subsets. And for that reason, one has a situation where flexible employment is essential. It has always been essential to construction work, not only in South Africa, but worldwide. The nature of the skill set, as I said earlier on, is only necessary for a period of time. And you actually find that a population of employment has grown since then, where a lot of those skill sets move from one project to another project. And it becomes a way of life. It becomes an employment impetus and job creation impetus. And from that point, as I said, it's played a very, very important role in employment and job creation.
We are in a conversation with HR Director at PrimeServe Group, Kevin Colway, and Albie Reader, Outsource Solutions Manager at MEC. As we're talking about, and asking the question, is there a need for TES in South Africa's construction industry? And particularly looking at the fact that this is normally an industry that is not necessarily in need of permanent and full-time employees. I'll be just picking up on the point that Kevin was making there in that instance and tying it up with the point that we touched on of TES providers supporting the construction industry by offering, say, flexible employment solutions that will get the projects up and running quickly when time specifically is of the essence, isn't it? Albie?
I think the nature of the TES industry is that clients rely on us to have those people available to ramp up things quickly. I mean, in some instances, it happens within 24 hours that you need to have X amount of people with certain skills on a site so that the project can kick off, or there's an urgent repair that needs to be made. So the TES builds a internal capacity of skills required that they know is required for a specific industry. And sometimes a lot of these skills are younger people that have not had an opportunity to work in that industry. So you sit there and you have your database of people and you mobilize and demobilize people as the client requires it within its specific scope. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah. And again, looking at just the why specifically the, for instance, the Temporary Employment Service Division, the TSCD, was established for these purposes exactly, you know, to ensure, for instance, that good practices and compliance with South African labor regulations, which then will be able to manage, as we mentioned, you know, an industry like this that is not normally, does not normally include full-time employees. Kevin?
Yes, exactly. The reality with the TSD is it was established over 20 years ago. It was specifically embedded in the construction industry. And, you know, we fly under the flag of CIFSA, which is a federation. And 20 years ago, our vision was that we wanted to create a TS industry, which, as you might know, we were previously known as labor brokers, which is not a problem. It's never been a problem to us. The reality is that we've known that there's a warrant that we need to make sure that the parties we deal with, because of the number of employees we set out there, and they're our employees. As I said, I mentioned the sure the tripartite relationship. There are employees that they receive, you know, proper treatment, that the conditions are correct, that the employment processes are correct, has been through the vigilance of our association, which is, as I say, linked to CIFSA and linked to the Construction and Engineering Association, which is known as the CA. So these are all very, if I use the word lightly, old or well-established associations that have very strong government contacts. They have very strong business contacts. You know, we're members of BUSA. We have very strong relationships and activities within NEDLAC. So, you know, we're not a Mickey Mouse setup that, and many people use the terminology, Bucky Brigade or Cell Phone Brigade. Yeah, but like in any industry and in any aspect or any sector of the economy, you find those who you know, try their luck, but that is why we exist, because the aim, the mission is to drive down the numbers that try their luck and to drive up the numbers that are compliant, that meet the standards in terms of the Employment Services Act, that meet the standards in terms of the Labour Relations Act, that are recognised in terms of Section 198 of that Act, and in terms of the negotiations that took place over a period of 15 years and ended in 2015 with regard to the social partners of NEDLAC, setting up a legal structure that can support the industry and a structure that also makes the industry compliant with international standards, ILO standards, and is able to make sure that when we do create jobs or are creating jobs, that they are of a nature that they're legitimate, that there's no issues about non-compliance That has been the main driving factor behind specifically the TSD. Its whole lifeblood in existence developed specifically from way back, as I said, 20 years even further, because obviously when you set these instruments up or these organizations up, it takes time. So the idea went back at least another 4 or 5 years. So you're looking at 25 years ago, where we as business got together and said we need to create a compliant employment facility that is able to create jobs, is able to facilitate jobs, and is able to make sure that the client, who obviously is the lifeblood of the process, and sees our services as essential and needs to be required to continue to see our services as essential, and our employee, who is the lifeblood too, so that all parties in that tripartite relationship have a win-win and not a slanted or, you know, illegitimate tank to it. So, yes, the basis really at the end of the day behind what we've done and created and continue to sponsor and continue to facilitate is behind the fact that we needed to create a compliant instrument in South Africa that met international standards at the same time.
Absolutely. Albie, just quickly, we are out of time, but in conclusion, from your side?
I think Kevin explained it very, very clearly. So the bottom line is that the purpose of the TESD is to make sure that all of those, all parties are protected, that clients know who they're working with, that they understand that there's a rigorous process that members have gone through from a compliance point of view before certificates of membership are issued to people. And that just gives clients that additional security and understanding that they're working with a compliant company and a company that has professional standards that ensures that they also improve their employment brand and achieve their objectives when it comes to using TES businesses.
Fantastic. Albie and Kevin, thank you so much to the both of you for coming through to talk to us. Appreciate your time and your insight. That is Kevin Colway, who is the HR Director at PrimeServe Group. And also on the line, we had Outsource Solutions Manager and MECS Albie Reader, both of.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.